time to jumpstart your life with your host, Nancy Levin.
Hello there and welcome. So grateful that you've decided to spend this time with me. And I am, of course, delighted to be here with you on this very poignant morning. As most of you know, our beloved Louise Hay passed on yesterday morning peacefully in her sleep. And I thought it would be really important to spend some time together today honoring the memory of her life and her life's work. And I was talking to my dear friend Nick Ortner yesterday afternoon, and we thought that it would be lovely for him to come on the show with me, and we could share some reminiscing and some celebration about Louise, and we could also do some tapping around grief and loss and pain and healing and how to really live on with the legacy that Louise left all of us. So I'm delighted to bring to the show my dear friend Nick Ortner. I'm sure he needs no introduction. New York Times bestselling author of The Tapping Solution and also several other books. His newest book is coming out soon called The Tapping Solution for Manifesting Your Greatest Self. And I am so grateful to have Nick here with us today. Hi, Nick.
Nancy, it is a pleasure and an honor, and we're going to do our best to keep it together during this hour, right?
I know. I was just saying to Steve, our radio producer, he's like, how are you doing? And I said, well, I have really puffy eyes this morning. And I said, you know the old saying, like, you know, I've got a face for radio?
Yeah. That's this morning in particular.
Right, that's me this morning. I have a face for radio, even though I am doing Facebook Live right after the radio. We'll see We'll see if I have a face for Facebook Live by the time we get there.
I did a Facebook Live yesterday afternoon, and you know me, Nan, because you've seen me on stage, and I'm a softie, and I got teary on Facebook Live and had to hold it together, and you know, I mean, you can cry a little bit, but you can't totally break down, you know?
I know.
We did some nice tapping together and talking about Louise, and I know that's what we're going to do today. So it's such a delight to be with you.
I know. It's interesting. You know, all the memories, for me, so many memories start flooding back, and I have so many. And, you know, I posted actually online yesterday that the last time I was with Louise was just last month. And I was there with our dear mutual friend, Patty Gift, and we were sitting with Lulu in downstairs in her living room on the sofa, and we were using her book, Heart Thoughts, as an oracle. And we were just turning to pages, and then I was the designated reader. So I would read, you know, I would read the pages, and Louise turned to the page in Heart Thoughts that said, there is no death. And yesterday, what I really chose to be with, where I chose to put my attention is, you know, as Lulu always said, life loves us. Life loves me.
Yeah.
And I really got yesterday also that death loves us too.
Yeah.
And this idea, you know, this idea that we're carrying each other on in our hearts and in our spirit. And I know that Lulu is alive in so many of us. The outpouring on social media yesterday was extraordinary. And I know, you know, my phone and email and text and everything was blowing up, as I know yours was and so many of ours was, because Louise had such a significant impact on so many lives, and how blessed we were to actually be, you know, in the inner circle with her.
Oh my gosh. So I want to know, do you remember the first time that you met her?
I do remember the first time that I met her. I met her at INATS, which is the International New Age Trade Show.
I love it.
And it was in Denver. Yep. And that's when I first met her, right as I was getting hired to work for Hay House. Because that was the first time that I met with Reed as well. And it was the first time I met her. And, you know, she was such a presence and such a force. And, you know, in the beginning, I can remember she was so, you know, there was, you know, I was unnerved.
Yeah.
You know, I was definitely unnerved. And yet she was so incredibly warm and loving and welcoming. I mean, you know, she was the first one to welcome a new employee or a new author to the family. I mean, it was like that. You know, I really think of it as, you know, she certainly is still even the matriarch, you know, of the Hay House family. And she was always the first one to welcome us.
So what, you know, there's what the public knows about her, right? That it's like they're familiar with her work and her speaking and her audios. What doesn't the public know about her? Like,
I love that you're asking me this. I love that you're asking me this. So there's two things that immediately pop into my mind. So the first one is, you know, I traveled around the world with Louise. I mean, traveled Australia, Europe, you know, we traveled around the world together. And we were very fortunate that we most often flew first class. And in first class, they often will bring you a glass of champagne upon departure. And every single trip we took, Lulu was like a little girl. She would swing her legs in the chair and she's like, "Can you believe they're bringing us champagne?" Really, that's what she would say. "Can you believe they're bringing us champagne?" And she was always, and she would reference, she's like, "You know, I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. You know, I left home as a teenager. I have a ninth grade education. You know, never in a million years did I imagine I'd be sitting in first class on an airplane drinking champagne." But it wasn't that she said it once. It was that she said it every time. She never, ever forgot where she came from, and she never took it for granted. And that's something that I really took to heart. You know, she really was consistently giddy and gleeful as a little girl, always wanting to experience as much of life as she could.
Amazing.
Yeah. The other thing is, and I was thinking about this morning too, in 2010, when I was going through my divorce, there were four places that I basically spent a year because I didn't want to go home.
Yeah.
And so I essentially lived between my sister's house, Cheryl Richardson's house, Debbie Ford's house, and Louise's house. Mm-hmm. And I would get to Louise's house and, you know, I was a mess and so much was going on in my world. Plus my full-time job. And I would get to Louise's house, and the first thing she would do is she would essentially confiscate my computer and my phone.
Yeah.
And she would tell me to go take a nap. She's like, "I know you're busy. I know you have a lot of work, and it can all wait." And she would tell me to go take a nap. And then we're both very early birds. So we'd wake up very early in the morning, and I would come out of the guest room, and she would already be making me a green smoothie. She'd be making me some quinoa breakfast flakes. She'd be making me, you know, like eggs, like whatever. My favorite thing in the world is that Louise used to cook me breakfast all the time when I spent the night there.
Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, obviously we could have, you know, gone out, we could have ordered in, we could have done, but no, like breakfast was her thing. She always wanted to make me breakfast every time I spent the night there.
I love it. I love her passion for, you know, a lot of people think of her in terms of the affirmation and the positive thinking and the self-acceptance and all the inner work, which is absolutely the case. But I also love her passion for nutrition and health. And like, she was just... And it was like she was just into stuff with like joy, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, I'm on this diet with this thing, mm-mm. you know? She was just into it. She was just having a great time with it.
She's the one who really taught me to travel with food.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because she would travel with, you know, sardines because they're high in protein.
Yeah.
Or she would travel with, you know, almond butter or packets of coconut oil or like, you know, she had all these things that she used that she would always travel with. And I remember the first time I traveled with her, I was hanging out with her while she was unpacking and I was like, Lulu, they have food here.
You
didn't have to bring your own food. But she, you know, wanted to always make sure she had what she needed.
And at the same time, she was super healthy and all that stuff, and then she could also have her glass of red and white wine.
Tell us about
the red and the white wine.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, Louise was famous for always ordering a glass of red and a glass of white. Always. And she would drink some of the white, and then she'd drink some of the red, and then at some point, at every opportunity, she would then pour one into the other and make her own rosé.
So good. I know.
So funny. So many.
Think?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so you know, I mean, certainly when someone passes on, we talk about legacy and, my gosh, I mean, the legacy is stunning. Tell me your thoughts about Hay House and the legacy of what it is and what you think it might be in the future and how Louise influenced it, right? Because, I mean, obviously it's got her name on it. It's got her influence all over it. But what I really find so fascinating about her is that, you know, talk about an energetic imprint on a company, right?
Yes.
It's not like she was day-to-day, I mean, certainly a lot more in the beginning than in the last decade, but it's not like it was about business strategy for her. You know, that's Reed, who we can talk about later. That's Reed Tracy, the president of Hay House. But Louise's energetic imprint on the company, I think, is something that we can all learn from in whatever we're doing in our lives, whether we're running companies or organizations or, you know, or working places. Tell me your thoughts about how, because you were an employee for Hay House for a long time.
I was.
Tell me about that energetic imprint of her as the boss, the leader.
Yeah, you know, what I immediately go back to is the beginning, which was what she always said around being, like, all she ever really desired was to be of service. Mm. And from, like, even, you know, I've seen, aside from my personal connection, but even seen, like, you know, interviews, people want to say, like, what was your vision for Hay House?
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't where she was coming from. She literally, you know, said at the beginning, I just want to help the people. I'm just going to answer the phone and open the mail. And, you know, I remember, you know, Reed often tells a story of when he first started working at Hay House 30 years ago, you know, this accountant who became essentially, you know, who Louise, you know, handpicked to really turn the company over to and for him to run it. He would say, you know, they basically started, I think she had something like, you know, whatever, like 2 books and 3 tapes.
Yeah.
And tapes back in the day.
I know.
And, you know, Louise would say, the people who need us will find us. And Reed would say, can't we do some advertising? Can't we can't we just tell people about these books and tapes?
Yep,
and she'd say, the people who need us will find us.
Oh, my goodness.
So none of that was on her radar. No, nothing about marketing, promotion, nothing about building $100 million company or whatever, nothing about nothing about that sort of external piece. It was really all about how can I serve and how can we help the people who need our help.
I mean, just incredible.
And that's the imprint.
That's
the imprint. And, you know, when I came to Hay House in 2002 to run the live event division, that was always the sentiment of, you know, we're bringing warm bodies together to share an experience so that we can connect and bond and heal and feel a sense of belonging.
Mm. Incredible. Tell me more stories that people don't know so we can just celebrate.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the truth of the matter is that Louise was goofy.
Yeah.
You know, she was really goofy. She loved to have fun. I mean, that was really the thing for her, especially as she retired. And it's funny because she retired, then she sort of came out of retirement, and then she went back into retirement. And these last couple of years that she's really been pretty much out of the public eye, she joked about changing her name, that she would now be Louise Play. You know, that she really just wanted to enjoy. It's so funny. I can think of the last time we were in Australia together, and maybe it's, I don't know, I'd have to really think about, maybe it's like 5 years ago-ish.
Yeah.
We were there together, and she had just taken up piano at like 85. Had decided she wanted to take up piano.
Yeah.
I mean, who does this?
Who does that? I know.
You know.
Well, who starts a company at 65?
Right. Who starts a company at 60? Exactly. Yeah. So she decided she wanted to take up. So she had her piano teacher get her like a little portable keyboard that she could take on the trip. And we were on the trip, and she was playing her keyboard and practicing, and you know, she'd do like little concerts for me. She was all so excited. And then I know.
Oh, and what then, I would give for a little video.
I know.
Right now.
Oh my God. It was so funny. And then what I remember too about that is something happened with the cord to the keyboard, because it had to get plugged in. Something happened to the cord and it broke. And then Reed, who you just mentioned, dear friend of both of ours, Reed and I, because I knew he was the only person in the world who would have the same understanding as I did about how important it was to find a replacement cord in Sydney, Australia. I dragged him along with me to go to like electronic stores to find the damn cord so that Louise could keep practicing.
Oh my goodness.
I know. But that was, you know, the thing about her was that whenever anyone said to Louise, you know, Louise, have you ever taken ballroom dancing classes? She would say, not yet.
Well,
that was always her answer. Not yet. So, even at 90, it was still not yet. And it's interesting because that reminds me of something else that was so significant about her. I've never met anyone, and I really doubt I will ever meet anyone again, who was so precise about language.
I was about to ask you about that.
Yep. So incredibly precise about language. And for me, the two things that stand out that I have integrated into my own lexicon are, you know, people will often say, I can't wait.
Yeah.
And Louise would always say, I can wait, but I'm excited. She would always say that.
She took it seriously.
She took it very seriously.
Yeah.
There's actually two more I just thought of. Another one is that whenever, you know, we see this in marketing all the time now. Don't forget to register by midnight or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, don't forget. Don't forget.
Yeah.
And Louise would always say, please remember.
Mm.
Because when you're lodging in, don't forget. Forget is what starts getting locked in.
Yeah.
And that please remember is going to actually anchor in remember.
Yeah.
And the other one, which I feel is so apropos right now, is that, you know, there's the expression that we all say, like, oh my God, this chocolate cake is to die for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Louise would always say, no, it's to live for. And to be with that, you know, whatever was exquisite or remarkable or wonderful or, you know, was to live for. And that's really who she, you know, that's who she, it, I can't even say was, I was about, you know, it's like, that's who she is.
No, that's who she is.
Yeah, absolutely. That's who she is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's who she is.
You know, with the language, so, you know, those of us who are speakers and authors, and we teach things and we try our best to live by them, and we're not perfect, and you know, sometimes we do a better job than other times. Louise was, and again, she wasn't perfect, but when it comes to what you talk about, her language, and she, I mean, she really owned that part of her work, right?
Absolutely.
And she really owned what she taught in on a daily basis, which is so big, and it's hard to do, right? It's easy to get caught up in life and to say, oh, well, yeah, I believe that. I wrote it down, but I still said to die for, because it's just, no, like, that integrity carried through into her daily life, and, you know, we both saw it time and again, you know, like, don't get caught around Louise saying can't or try or, you know, should, because you could be in the middle of, you know, drinking a glass of red and white wine and you still say, you know, honey, like, it's not this, it's this, you know.
And, you know, what you're pointing to in that as well is I will say that Louise was an incredibly aligned human. You know, she was who she was. And she allowed us to be with the fullness of who she was. So she allowed all of herself to be seen in that way, you know. And listen, you know, you and I have worked with many people, and it can be sometimes that, you know, there's a little bit of misalignment. Let's just call a spade here. And what I can tell you from the from my personal relationship with her is that she, you know, that she was consistent. And there's a lot to be said for that.
No, there's a lot to be said for that.
A lot to be said for that.
You know, I also, I see moments. I know, well, I'll tell one particular story. And I think it's sort of like your nap story. And I think you have other times in your life where she's a strong guiding force, almost in like a cunning way, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, sneaky in a good way, right?
Yes.
Like, and my experience of that is, so she was 86 years old, so 4.5 years ago, something like that, we are scheduled to go interview her for the Tapping World Summit. And I was going out with my sister. I had worked with Louise and done some tapping with her and gotten to know her, and she was excited about tapping and my book. And so, but my sister was the one who did all the interviews then. And she still does. She's got an amazing podcast, and, but she's more of the interviewer. Like, that's her thing. Right.
Yeah.
And she's so good at it. And so we flew all the way to San Diego, and we were, had the whole camera crew. We're in her apartment, gorgeous apartment. We're setting things up, and Jess is going to do the interview. And poor Jess, she got the short end of the stick on this, but she took it so well and so graciously. About 15 minutes before we were getting ready to roll, I said, well, Jess is going to ask you this question or something. And she said, oh, no, honey, you're doing the interview. You know? And I mean, Nancy, I'm wearing like a T-shirt, you know? Like, and I am not prepared for this in any way, shape, or form at all. I hadn't thought of questions. I hadn't, you know. I said, oh, no, Jess. Oh, no, honey, you're doing the interview. And there wasn't any arguing at that point, right?
Like,
okay, so I ran to my hotel room, put on a button-down shirt, tried to clean up a little bit, and I did the interview, and we had just an amazing time together. And she was super sweet to Jess and gracious, and they did other things together. Me doing that interview, I had been reluctant at the time. Sometimes I'm still reluctant to be forward-facing, you know? It's like I've never wanted to be a speaker. It's not like I said 10 years ago, oh boy, I want to be up on stage. And I just loved what I was doing and one step after the other. But I've just been reluctant for whatever reason to be forward facing. She just kind of shoved me out there, you know? And I get it now. Like, I get it. The interview we did was one of the most meaningful moments of my life. Mm. It came together so well. And she was right. She was just right in that moment to say, no, you're the one to do this. And you're going to do it, you know?
That, I mean, that, and that piece about her, like, it's almost a kind of intuition or a knowing that drives her sort of like insistence on something.
Yes.
Because she could see something beyond what we could see.
Yeah.
And see something for us that we couldn't see about ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's how I felt with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tell me another story, and then let's talk about what people are feeling out there, and let's do some tapping.
Yeah.
Agreed. Because, you know, we're celebrating, and I know a lot of people are sad.
Are sad. I know. I cried many times yesterday and then had a really big cry before I went to bed, which is why my eyes are so puffy right now. You know, it's interesting. There's so many sweet moments that I can think of with her. One of the things about Lulu is that she loved to hold hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she loved to just sort of sit holding hands. We would sit, I mean, we would fly for hours and we would just sit holding hands on the airplane. And I can just remember that too. But,
and you know what? So just pause there because that is like, it's not easy to hold hands.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we think of holding hands with, you know, our husband or wife or, you know, children, but that's as far as it goes,
right?
That level of intimacy. And even then, a lot of people struggle with that and to do it for an extended period of time. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm thinking of a dinner when I'm just sitting there and just holding her hand, you know, like we're just at dinner. That's what we're doing, you know? And it's one of those things when it first happens, you're like, is this an extra long hug kind of thing? Like, do I let go? When do I let go? You know, like how long is this happening for? You know?
Yep.
But she was just that had that presence. And
she, exactly. You know, yep. And it's
to hold that space and like hold it long enough to.
Yes.
To finally just relax into it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yep. I'm just, it's funny because yesterday when Patty and I were talking, you know, just about, you know, about the fact that Louise had died, she said, will you, because she, her first meeting with Louise ever was at the Carlyle Hotel in New York City. It's where they first ever met. And Patty said, the next time you're in New York, can we go to the Carlyle and have a drink in Louise's honor and hold hands? I know, right?
Yeah. So that's one. So everyone listening, that is one way to honor Louise today. Hold hands for a little bit longer than you normally would.
Yes. I love that. I love that. It's true.
Right. Whoever it is in your life, just a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
10 seconds longer. Right to the point where you go, oh boy, this is getting a little uncomfortable. No, just hold it.
Just hold it a little longer.
Yeah. And hold it to the point. I think what happens, and it's the same thing for a hug or any other display of affection or intimacy. There's like, we're so not used to it, and then it's uncomfortable, and then you just stay with that discomfort for a second, and then it relaxes into love.
It's so
and
true.
That's what,
That's
what Louise taught, right? To spend enough time with others and ourselves and to love and accept ourselves so we can...
Yes.
We can look in the mirror and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then feel like it's the weirdest thing that we've lost in our minds and push through that to the point where it actually starts working, you know, and it means something,
and
it's,
you know,
doing its work.
And, you know, I have to tell this story because you just brought up the mirror, of course, and I will tell you that every single time Louise passed a mirror or passed her reflection in a window, she would catch herself and say, looking good, kiddo, or I love you, sweetheart, or hi, Lulu, I love you, you're beautiful. She would, every single time she caught her reflection, she would say that.
Incredible.
And I remember one time Cheryl Richardson and I were visiting, we're visiting Lulu at her place in San Diego, and we were up in her office, and there was a mirror hanging at her desk. So Cheryl said, Lulu, is this for you to put on your lipstick? And Lulu said, almost like sternly, Cheryl, don't be ridiculous. It's for mirror work.
Oh, my goodness. Don't be ridiculous.
Don't be ridiculous. It's for mirror work. So, I mean, she lived everything that she taught. She lived it. All over her house were affirmations taped up in the bathroom, in the kitchen, by the bed, always. She lived her work.
I mean, you can't ask for anything more, right? For someone who's out there teaching and sharing a message. And for everyone listening and who have read her books, they could follow her, follow along with her on any given day silently and say, oh, wow, she does have affirmations taped everywhere. Oh, wow, she is doing her mirror work. Like, oh, wow, she is watching her language and choosing her words wisely. Amazing.
I have to say, I just saw a text come across my computer screen from my sister who's listening, and she said, I am holding your hand from far away.
I love it.
I love it too.
So should we do a little tapping?
I think we should.
You know, I think the thing about events like this is oftentimes it's not just about the singular event. So when I did my Facebook Live yesterday, notice a lot of people are triggered with other loss, other pain in their lives that they haven't fully healed. And the thing about grief, like, and the thing about tapping with grief, right? With tapping, we're looking to clear these quote unquote negative emotions or move through them and to a place of feeling better. But it's not a, we're not trying to erase them, and we're not trying to not cry, and we're not trying to feel lost. We're trying, and especially when there's grief, and then there's also the trauma of loss, right? So we can grieve, and we can love Louise and miss her and think of her and celebrate her. And the opposite thing is to feel like we're missing something in our lives and that part of us is broken or it hurts or we'll never be the same again. So we want to try to connect with the beauty of Louise and the beauty of the people that we have lost in our lives. I've seen time and again, I remember so clearly one example of this tapping was Scarlett Lewis. I know you know Nancy, who lost her son Jesse in the Sandy Hook school shooting here in my hometown of Newtown. And, you know, you say, okay, my gosh, I mean, there's no greater tragedy than losing a child in such a horrific manner. So what can you possibly do with tapping on that? And Scarlett speaks to it very clearly that when we tapped, we worked on the trauma and the shock. And it's like, you know, when you hear the news and your body just freezes and everything that comes from that. And she found that after we did the tapping together, she could connect to Jesse in a way that she couldn't before. Like, she could feel him. She could feel his love. She could feel the love for him and the wonderful memories. And, of course, still feel the ache in her heart, but open up to the possibility. And certainly, if you're a part of the Hay House community, you believe in something greater. You believe that this isn't the end. I mean, if Lulu didn't leave us with a wink and a nod going on the same day as Wayne.
No kidding.
Like, I mean, we haven't even talked about that yet, you know. For those of you that haven't heard that, she passed away the same night, same morning. We don't know when it happened exactly for either of them. As Wayne, 2 years later, which is stunning. I still can't get over it. I just, you know, I don't know. It's stunning.
It is.
So for everyone listening, let's take some time and think about Louise and the places where we've been celebrating today, but the places where your heart hurts, and then also think about other loved ones that you might have lost and what this might be bringing up, and just tune into that feeling in your heart. And certainly, if you lost someone in a tragic or unexpected way, you might think about that event and feel into the pain that that caused. And just notice your body. Notice how it feels. And notice what the emotion is. You might feel sadness in your heart. You might feel fear. Like, how could this happen? And what does this mean for my life? Notice any parts of you that think, you know, Louise would say, often all is well. So notice the parts of you that, whether it be from Louise's passing or other loss in your life, notice the parts that think all is not well. And we're just taking a moment, you know, I'm going to have such a hard time, I say this on stage every time, and it's going to be tricky going forward now, but when I talk about tapping and how we start by focusing on the negative or the truth, I share the story about how during that interview, that I talked about earlier, I asked Louise, Louise, you're the queen of affirmations and positive thinking, and you're doing this focus on this negative stuff. Like, what's the deal? And she sweetly replied something that still blows my mind today. She said, honey, if you want to clean a house, you have to see the dirt.
Yes.
To me, that's what we're doing here. We're taking a moment to see the dirt, right? This is how we feel, and that's okay. And we're going to feel these feelings in order to feel different, more loving, more powerful feelings. So tune into that feeling in your heart. And if you're brand new to tapping, just follow along. I'll give you some general instructions. Don't worry about getting it perfect. Thinking about Louise, thinking about that sadness in our hearts, thinking about any place in our lives from other loss and other grief. And we start by tapping on the side of the hand, the karate chop point. It's on the outside of the hand, below the pinky. Just use the four fingers of one hand to tap on the other. And we are physically tapping. And just repeat after me. Nancy, will you be my echo?
I absolutely will.
Okay. Even though I feel all this grief in my heart.
Even though I feel all this grief in my heart.
Deep down, I know all is well.
Deep down, I know all is well.
Even though I feel all this sadness.
Even though I feel all this sadness.
About Louise passing.
About Louise passing.
And other loss in my life.
And other loss in my life.
I choose to relax and know all is well.
I choose to relax and know all is well.
Even though I feel all the sadness in my heart.
Even though I feel all the sadness in my heart.
About this loss.
About this loss.
And any other losses.
And any other losses.
I love, accept, and forgive myself.
I love, accept, and forgive myself.
Now let's tap through the points. First point's inside of the eyebrow, right where the hair ends and meets the nose, either side of the body. This grief in my heart.
This grief in my heart.
Side of the eye. All the sadness.
All the sadness.
Under the eye. It's safe to feel it.
It's safe to feel it.
Under the nose. Even though it can feel overwhelming.
Even though it can feel overwhelming.
Under the mouth. I can feel it and let it go.
I can feel it and let it go.
Collarbone. All the sadness in my heart.
All the sadness in my heart.
Under the arm. All the sadness for Louise.
All the sadness for Louise.
Top of the head. And any other loss.
And any other loss.
Now go back to the eyebrow, and I want you to just take a moment to imagine this person in front of you, whether it be Louise, we can all be with her and think of her together, and just see her in front of you. Or if there's another loss in your life that you want to take this time to help move through, or you can do multiple people, line them up, all the people we love that we have lost, see them in front of you, and then move to the side of the eye. And just notice as you see them in front of you and as you tune into your body, just notice how you feel and acknowledge any place where you feel that ache, that loss, that anger, that guilt, that grief, any negative emotions under the eye. Sometimes we think about the things that we didn't say or didn't do, or the things that we did say or did do. Sometimes we feel regret for not having spent enough time with the people we love or letting them really know how much we love them under the nose. Sometimes we might feel sadness for not holding their hand just a little bit longer. Just tune into that feeling. Into the mouth. As you see Louise in front of you and anyone else you love and you feel that ache and sadness in your heart. And you notice that it starts to lift. Collarbone. If there are things left unsaid, say them now. You can say them out loud. You can say them mentally. What do you need to say to this person? Whatever it may be, it can just be a simple, I love you and I miss you. It could be an I'm sorry. It can be an I'm angry at you. That's okay. acknowledge that feeling now, whatever it is, whatever's coming up, and say it. Under the arm. Feel the feelings in your body. Be with that person or persons and say what you need to say. Top of the head. And just listen and see what they say back. What's their response? Just notice it. Back to the eyebrow. Be with that person and just notice how your body starts to relax. How as you dialogue with them, this isn't just some made-up thing. You are communicating with them in this moment. And you are healing what needs to be healed. Side of the eye. Be with that person now. Under the eye. And when it feels safe to do so, when the right time is right for you, reach out and hold that person's hand. Do it now. Under the nose, present in your body, holding their hand. Under the mouth, and hold it just a little bit longer, just a little bit tighter. Collarbone, and just feel as you hold their hand, the love passing back and forth between you. Flowing back and forth. Feel the forgiveness flowing back and forth. Anything needed to be healed, it's happening now. Forgiveness flowing back and forth, meeting in your hand. Under the arm. Feel that love now. Top of the head. Feel that love. Back to the eyebrow. Tapping gently. Being with that feeling. Being with them, holding their hand. Healing anything that needs to be healed. Be with that now. And tapping on the eyebrow. Repeat after me. In the infinity of life where I am.
In the infinity of life where I am.
All is perfect, whole, and complete.
All is perfect, whole, and complete.
Side of the eye. In the infinity of life where I am.
In the infinity of life where I am.
All is perfect, whole, and complete.
All is perfect, whole, and complete.
Under the eye. In the infinity of life where I am.
In the infinity of life where I am.
All is perfect, whole, and complete.
All is perfect, whole, and complete.
Under the nose. Be with that person. Be with Louise. Feel that love in your heart. Under the mouth, knowing all is well. Collarbone. And let's take a moment together as we listen to this Hay House audience from around the world. Coming together as one. From our hearts, let's beam out all the love we have towards Louise. She doesn't need it because she's radiant and full of love now, but one thing Louise was always good at was accepting. Beam it to her now. All together. and imagine all the people around the world, whether they're listening to us or not, all the people whose lives have been touched by Louise. Over 15 million copies of You Can Heal Your Life. Think of the millions, the tens of millions, the hundreds of millions of people whose lives have been directly or indirectly affected by Louise. And just imagine all of them coming together. We'll give them that silent subconscious command now to come together as one and beam our love and our gentle gratitude to Louise. Feel that now. Feel that happening around the world. And for those tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people, I declare myself their human representative. And Louise, thank you. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for the difference you made. Thank you for mixing red and white wine together. Thank you for being your joyous, loving, kind, generous, graceful you. Your mission is complete. Rest and feel our gratitude. And you can gently open your eyes and just notice what you feel. Notice how your body feels. And notice the truth of this experience, that we are all one, that Louise is all around us. I mean, Nancy, I feel like she's more around me today than she was yesterday and the day before.
Right? I know.
Like, yep. She's got extra powers now.
Yeah, and, she does.
You know.
Nick, that was really beautiful. Thank you for that.
It's my honor.
I just want to share that when you had us extend a hand out to hold hands, which was so gorgeous. This morning, I should first say, this morning in my meditation, I closed my eyes, and the minute I closed my eyes, I saw Louise in her bed. And I just held that vision of her through my entire meditation this morning. And so when I reached out for her hand just now, she was there in her bed, and she reached her hand back out, and we held hands. And you had said, I think a bit earlier, the part about the dialogue, you know.
Yeah.
And so I simply just said, I love you, Lulu, you are safe. And she said, exactly in her voice, I love you too, darling. I am safe. And it was perfect. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Did we just cry for the last 10 minutes? That makes for good radio, right?
Oh. Just,
you tune it in and just hear two people sobbing, you know, and people are just jumping on now.
You know, it's funny. Like I said, my phone, my computer, everything's been blowing up. And so I just open my eyes, I see, and I want to share this, again, our dear friend Patty, who we've been mentioning, she's the publisher, the vice president of editorial of Hay House. And she said that just this morning, I mean, how perfect is this? Just this morning, she received the page proofs of the deck of cards that's being made of Louise's book, Heart Thoughts. And she had said to me earlier this morning, I'm going to pull a card for us from the page proofs.
Yeah.
And so I opened my eyes to this text, this picture. I deserve to be prosperous. I deserve love. I deserve joy.
Amazing.
And I think, I know. And I believe that's the message for us all.
I mean, the wisdom in every, you know, it's easy with, like, you flip through the Heart Thoughts book and this card deck, and it's like, there's so much wisdom in there. It's like all you need, you know? Like,
yep.
What else do you need? It's all there.
And,
you know?
I know, and it's interesting, you know, Patty and I have had these conversations over the last month or so about Louise's teachings and the simplicity of them.
Mm.
And that how much nuance is in the simplicity.
Yes.
You know, yes. Like I was saying before, you know, Louise really only had a ninth grade education. And it was something that she often mentioned around, you know, she didn't, it was like, you know, her writing isn't full of like big words. Her writing isn't, you know, academic in that way. Her writing and her teaching and her speaking has always been directly from her heart.
Yeah.
And it's in the simplicity of it that the wisdom carries so much profound depth.
It's true.
Yeah.
And it's easy to overlook that, right? Like, oh, I know this, you know,
right.
Like,
right.
Oh, I know I deserve prosperity.
Right.
Well, do you? Like, do you,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because
mm-hmm.
it's easier said than done, right?
Yes.
You know, one of the things that I loved about spending time with Louise and Wayne and getting to know them better is that neither of them cared about money. They both were very prosperous and did well. They both loved selling books, though. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't about
mm-hmm.
the money. It was about the message. It was about
right.
getting out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly if you want to give a gift to Louise and honor her and remember her, go. I just went and did it yesterday. I bought You Can Heal Your Life,
yep.
an audiobook, because I wanted to hear her voice.
Mm-hmm.
I reordered You Can Heal Your Life because I couldn't find it on my bookshelf, which means I've given it to somebody, which
mm-hmm.
often happens. So go get it and read it and be with it and just take her teachings and go back to them. You know, the Hay Foundation is
mm-hmm.
supported by that, so like you're supporting her incredible work there, which is going to continue. And I mean, I know. I was talking to Patty this morning, and I know I talked to you about this yesterday, Nancy,
yes.
that we all feel as part of the Hay House family, like an even deeper sense of responsibility to continue spreading her message.
Yes.
Like, okay. And
all
the listeners, you're part of this family, and I hope you feel that sense of responsibility, not as a burden, but as a privilege.
Absolutely.
To be able to
true.
Continue spreading her work.
Spreading her work. Ah, Nick. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I so appreciate your presence, and I so appreciate the tapping that you shared with us. And I know that I, for one, am going to listen to this again.
I'd love to hear from anyone listening. You know, post on mm-hmm. Nancy's Facebook page or on my Facebook page. I did another live tapping yesterday,
yes.
so you can follow that along. But I want to hear your stories, and I'll check Nancy's page. So post them wherever, but like, tell me your stories about your experience there when we did that tapping and what you healed in your heart. You know.
Please do. And in the words of Lulu, all is well.